Mr. Jackson, would you please rise?
Mr. Jackson, do you swear or affirm that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Would you state your name?
William Jackson.
And, Mr. Jackson, you were an inmate at Attica?
Yes, sir.
From when to when?
From November 13, 1969, till March 20, 1972.
And how old are you?
I'm 25 now, sir.
And how old were you when you were committed to Attica?
22.
What were you convicted of?
Sale of a dangerous drug, first degree.
What was the drug?
Marijuana.
In what court were you convicted?
Chautauqua County Court.
And was this your first felony conviction?
Yes, sir.
What was your sentence?
An indeterminate to a 7-year sentence.
What does it mean, indeterminate to 7-year sentence?
This is the parole board sets the minimum on the sentence, and the maximum term would be 7 years.
And you actually served 2.5 years?
Yes, sir, I did.
Now, what is your educational level?
I am a high school graduate.
And are you married?
Yes, sir, I am.
And do you have children?
Yes, sir, 2.
What ages?
My girl is 5 years old and my boy is 6.
Now, after your conviction, were you held in county jail prior to being transferred to Attica?
Yes, sir. Upon conviction, bail was revocated, and I was held in the county jail for 60 days prior to a sentencing.
And this experience of being in jail prior to actually being assigned to an institution such as Attica is a common one, is it not, among the inmates that you've met and talked to?
Yes, sir. They usually take some time between the time you're first incarcerated in the county jail and they finally sentence you.
And you were brought to Attica on November 13, 1969?
Yes, sir.
Who brought you? How is an inmate escorted to the doors of Attica?
The sheriff of the county you come from brings you up to the prison. They handcuff you and they bring you to the prison up there, and then they hand you over to the authorities at the prison.
Did you have any conception of what Attica would be like before you arrived there?
Well, you know, you talk with people who are in the county jail, and there was one man who was a parole violator, and he gave me some idea, but, you know, you just listen to him. You don't know what to expect on a place like this. You know, like he told me that there was a majority of black inmates there. It was it's a pretty rough place, you know. And I had no conception at all of what prison was like or anything, you know. You see them in the movies, you really don't believe it could happen, do you?
Did you receive warnings about possibility of homosexual attack on you?
The guy that was in the county jail told me, he says, you got to make a stand right off, or, you know, he told me, like, they'll try to give you cigarettes and all this type of thing, you know, and he just told me, explained to me, you know, how the thing went, so I was kind of prepared.
You were apprehensive when you were brought to Attica?
To say the least.
Would you tell the public what your reaction was when you first saw Attica as you were being driven up?
We come down the Exchange Street in Attica, and like it was, I never believed they had a place that big, you know, those walls around it. You know, it was just so, it was unbelievable. It was like a dream, you know, you see something like this, you know.
Do you know how many acres Attica covers?
Well, at a later time, I found it was 55 acres in there.
There's a map of Attica right by your side, and I think that it would be helpful in understanding your testimony and further testimony if you could point out the various parts of Attica. Can that be put on screen, lowered? This one, the photograph.
Right here is the front entrance.
That's you can see the pointer at the front entrance there. Would you move the on the left part of the screen? Would you move your pointer so that people could see it right? That's the front entrance.
This is the front entrance, and this leads right to the administration building. These parts here, the administration building. When you're first brought to the prison, you were brought in here, and there's like a little bullpen. You're put in there while the deputies check out your papers and make sure everything is all right. Then you're handed over to the officers. They walk you outside here, and you go around through this wire gate, and this is the reception building on the bottom, and the top floors of the HBZ, or the box. And you go in here, and they take away your clothing, your they give you your number, a rule book, and then they do a complete physical examination. They examine your hands, your not a doctor examination. This is for contraband. Like they examine your rectum and everything, and they go through this.
You would be asked at that time whether you were a drug user?
No, usually, but at this time, the identification office was busy. I was brought back the next day and put through this questioning.
Right. You would have... As a user of marijuana, you would have been in one of those statistics that we showed of
drug users, yes, sir.
Because that is classified, I should say, that the classification of drug use, which the commission adopted, was in accordance with the classification by the law of New York State, which classifies marijuana as a dangerous drug, and that statistic therefore appears in the statistics that we have shown.
Well, New York State classifies marijuana as a narcotic too.
Right.
Not only a dangerous drug, it's a narcotic.
Right. Now, continue with your map. Now, how many cell blocks are there at Attica?
There are four cell blocks. This is A, the whole area across here is A block. This is C block all the way across here, and this is B block all the way here, and this is your D block area. Now,
and there's an additional block called E block.
E block. This was newly built right up in here. This is the E block yard. Each block has its own yard. Like this would be. This is B. This is C block. This is D. And this is A block.
Now, you say each block has its own yard. Each inmate is assigned to one of the blocks, am I correct?
Yes, sir. Wherever he locks, this is where he would have his exercise block.
And his privilege of using the yard would be confined to the yard for that
particular block.
Particular block. He couldn't walk from yard to yard.
No, there isn't any way.
Now, except on the 4th of July, am I correct?
On the 4th of July, they open, there's yard doors, and they open these right in here. And on the 4th of July, on a special occasion, they allow the inmates to walk around and circulate a little bit.
Now, there are shops at Attica where inmates work, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
Would you point out on the map the metal shops and other shops?
This is one of the metal shops. I get the designations mixed up. And these are the other two. One is Metal 1, one is Metal 2. But these three buildings consist of the metal shop area. And this one behind it is like the powerhouse and the powerhouse annex.
Now, this is the picture that you can see from an aerial photograph. If you're in Attica, I'm correct that what your perspective would be confined to would be to the block that you're assigned to?
Yes, sir.
Plus the areas that you would walk through to go either to the hospital or to the shop or
to the mess hall.
The mess hall. Now, where is the mess hall?
This is what they call A mess, and right across from it is B mess, and then the bake shop is right here in the back. This is the whole mess hall complex in the institution, these two buildings, like.
Now, where is what is called Times Square in Attica?
It's this area right where all the block separators, like, intersect, right here in the center. That's the Times Square area.
And what does Times Square have?
Well, in the bottom, there's gates that, on each leg of this, right back of Times Square, so it can be completely isolated. Then upstairs, there's a wire riot cage, and this is where they stand, and so when the men are in the yard, they look over, you know, in the yard. They have gas guns and stuff up there.
Now, you said that when you entered Attica, you were given a number, and you were photographed, and I suppose fingerprinted.
Yes,
and processed. After the processing took place, you were given clothing?
Yes, sir. When I first went in there, they gave you it's a real coarse gray cloth with metal buttons on it for your shirt, and gray pants with button-up flies on them, and they give you like one set of underwear. You're allowed to keep your underwear.
You could keep the underwear that you brought in?
Yes, sir.
How many pairs?
I only brought in two pairs of underwear. Later time, I bought more, but I brought those, and I was allowed to keep those. And
what about shirts?
The shirt I brought in was a colored shirt, so I wasn't allowed to have it. The only colors they allow is gray and white.
Well, how many uniforms are you given by the institution?
Later, we went to the state shop, and they gave us, I believe it was three or two pairs of pants and a couple shirts. And then they gave you the state underwear, the old-fashioned T-shirts, you know, the knit-ins, and they gave you boxer shorts and socks, you know.
Most people have no conception of how you get your clothing laundered. Would you explain that?
Well, the state will wash your pants and your shirt and the state underwear if you wear it. But there isn't, a lot of people don't wear it. I had my own underwear sent in, and this year you have to launder yourself. You get a bucket of water in the evening or in the afternoon, and you wash out your own clothes. Even if you have state socks, you have to wash them out. They don't do any laundry service in there. Or any personal clothes, like a sweatshirt, or if you have your own white shirt sent from home, you have to wash this out by hand.
You said the state launders it. Actually, inmates are
working
assigned to the job of working in the laundry.
Yes, sir.
And am I correct that for a pack of cigarettes or the other currency in prison, you can get
buy a laundry man. You usually you get a contract with one man, and you pay him like maybe a carton of cigarettes every month, and he'll take care of your laundry for you.
I'm going to discuss it with you at greater length later, what you have to buy in prison and what the currency is. Now, you are given some clothing. You now have a number. You've been photographed. What happened to you after that?
I was, they put you in reception, what they call a reception company. And at this time, I went down for what they call a PK interview, and this allowed me to go to my meals. This was a couple days after I was there.
For the first few days, you ate?
I was fed in my cell, right. And after this interview, it was a couple, you know, two, 3 minute interview. He just asked me about what kind of work I had done on the street, and you know, if just a general look, I guess. And after this, I went back up, and I was allowed to go to meals. And while I was in this reception company, we would go to the yard. They'd allow us to have yard and everything. But at this time, you have to wait for this assignment board to assign you a job in the institution.
So you were waiting for the assignment of work to do.
Right.
How long did you remain in the reception company approximately?
It was approximately 2.5 months. I was waiting for a job assignment. I was on a cell up in Tent Company. All you could actually do was you could go to the yard or...
What did you do with your time during those 2.5 months?
At the time, you don't know anything about the institution. I was borrowing books from somebody. I'd see somebody in a gallery with a book. I'd ask them, can I read the book tonight? Or once in a while, you'd listen to the earphones. There really wasn't too much to do.
Did you know that they had a library at Attica?
At this time, I didn't even know there was a library at Attica. I didn't know anything about it. You're kind of in a confined space. You're locked in a cell, and you go to meals. You don't get to, you don't talk to anybody. They don't tell you about that.
And were you allowed to bring any books from home or obtain books from home?
I wrote to my wife, and at the time, I didn't realize it, and I asked her to send me in some books. So she... when she come up to visit, she brought them with her, and they wouldn't allow me to have them. They said that you can't get books from people on the street. You have to, they all have to be sent in directly from the publisher, So I didn't get those. Later, I did send for books and got them.
That means you have to buy the books from the publisher.
Yes, sir.
And you can't have books given to you.
No used books. It all has to be new materials.
Now, did you get any orientation while you were in the reception company for that 2.5 month period?
The only orientation I got was from talking with other convicts. They didn't have any program, It was just trying to get along, That was the main thing, yeah.
Did you ultimately get some orientation lecture?
After I had gotten the job, it was 5 or 6 months after I had been there, they gave me a class in orientation. It was presided over by a correction officer, and later we had a class in successful living, which was done by the chaplain.
Well, by that time, you knew the rules of living at Attica?
After 5 or 6 months, you'll learn.
Were the rules that were explained in these orientation classes, the rules by which you live day to day?
Not quite. You have to learn the whole thing from, just living there. There's always differences, little things. You have to learn from each individual personality of a correction officer or whoever's running the show at the time. You just learn to go along with them or whatever they're doing.
I take it that ways of doing things vary from officer to officer and gallery to gallery. Would that be a fair statement?
Very much so. Their whole demeanor of handling the thing is according to their personality. It's the way that they do it.
Well, did you get a rule book at any time?
When I first come in, they gave me a rule book. They wrote my number on it so I'd remember it and my cell location. And this was printed at Great Meadows. It was printed in 1969. It was current, but it was just like a general rule book. It was supposed to be for all the state institutions, though.
All right. And there, in addition to the rules that covered, as you say, the general rules that covered all of the institutions, there were special rules that applied to Attica?
Yes, like... the packages are different in every institution. For instance, at Sing Sing, you can receive cigarettes, chewing gum, items like this. Now, if you were at Sing Sing and transferred to Attica and these items are sent to you, they'll take them and tell you, you can't have them here, you got to either send them back or destroy them. And it's all these little things that are changing. A book you have in another institution, you go to Attica, they'll say, well, you can't have this book here. Things like this.
Does that create a good deal of frustration and unrest among the inmates?
Well, certainly items which, hobby items they may have had, say at Sing Sing, they did hobby work, they come to Attica and they say, well, we don't allow this here, so we're going to put this in your personal file and you can get it when you go home. They want the items then. They've been working on maybe a hobby project or something.
Now, ultimately you were assigned to a job at Attica.
Yes, sir.
Are you required to work at Attica?
We actually aren't required, but it's, if you don't, you just stay in your cell all day. So you got to do something. I mean, you're glad to get out.
Well, do they have school at Attica?
Yes, they have the school program for those who, for GED equivalency exams and for getting diplomas.
Would you explain what you mean by that?
What they had is like a lot of inmates would need just a little brush up on their reading skills. Probably they had 10th grade education, so they give classes on this for reading skills and math and things like this, and they get them prepared, and then they administer a diploma equivalency exam. And this way it helps the inmate to get a at least an equivalency.
Now, do many inmates go to school full-time in Attica?
I wouldn't say. It's hard to say.
You didn't go to school full-time?
No, I worked in the school. I wouldn't say there's maybe at the most 200 that went to the school.
And the rest of the inmates would be working?
Working on regular jobs.
Now, what was the first job you were assigned to at Attica?
I was assigned to the silkscreen shop.
After you were assigned to your job, what block did you live in?
I moved from A block to D block.
Would you point out D block?
D block is right here.
Now, I take it that your life then settled into a routine at Attica.
Yes, this, you get used to how they live at that particular block, and you get used to the routine. And
would you describe the routine of inmates at Attica?
I'll go on my last job that I had. I worked in the hospital. It'd be easier for me to remember because I just left this about a month ago. And we would, about 6:30, they would ring three bells. And this is a signal for you to start ready to get up. And then at about 10 or 7, they would ring two bells. And then they would holler for the count. And everybody would have to be out of bed facing the front, so that they can get a visual count of you.
Now, I read an article at the beginning about how at Attica there would be buttons in each cell so that an inmate could signal that he was really there. Did they get around to putting those buttons in?
There's no buttons there.
So you would stand for the count, and an officer would see that you were there and mark you off.
Right, he'll come by and visually count you. Usually there's two, one right behind the other, and they tally their counts against each other.
And when would that be done in the morning?
This would be about between 10 or 7 and 7 would be the count. And at 7 o'clock, they would ring what they call one bell. And this would be the signal that the count is all right, and it would start running the different galleries to the mess hall.
Now, you said running the galleries. What do you mean by that?
What they would do is, like, there's 42 cells on a gallery, and they would open the entire gallery, and the men would come on out, line up according to height, and then they would march to the mess hall.
Now, is there single cell occupancy at Attica?
Yes, sir.
And what's the size of the cell?
Approximately 5 foot wide, maybe 9 foot deep, 7 foot high, 7.5 foot high.
And would you be given military type orders to march, line up by height and march to the mess hall?
It depended on who it was. One officer may holler out, bang a stick on the wall, line up by height, forward, arch. Another one would say, okay, go ahead. You didn't know, it just whoever it was.
What was the rule on talking while you were marching at that time?
Whoever it was. If one particular officer would say, I don't want talking, or you knew this is the way he was, or another one would allow it.
Now, how long would you be in the mess hall for breakfast?
Approximately, by the time you got there, you'd have time to eat. Maybe 20, 25 minutes.
And what would a typical breakfast be?
Be this have a scoop of milk. They have a scoop, and you go by, and they give you a little scoop of milk. Sometimes they'd have oatmeal or dried cereal, and on the weekends, you'd possibly have a piece of fruit. You'd have this ersatz coffee.
What do you mean by ersatz coffee?
Well, you drank it, you know what it tastes like. It's pretty bad stuff.
And what did you do about utensils for eating?
When you would go sit down, it'd be a spoon. You'd always have a spoon. And like on occasions, they would give you a fork. And then on even fewer occasions, you'd get a knife. It was an especially tough piece of meat. They'd give you a knife to cut it with.
And would you be responsible for turning in that fork or knife before you left the mess hall?
Right. You, when you sit down, you always make sure your utensils were on the table. And make sure that somebody hadn't accidentally shorted them. Because if you sat down and your utensils weren't there, you're hurting. Because then you have to come up with a spoon or a fork or a knife, whatever's missing.
Is it hard to come up with a spoon, fork, or knife?
If it isn't there, it's hard to come up with it.
Then after breakfast, what would you do?
Excuse me?
You'd finish breakfast about what hour?
We'd finish breakfast around 7:30, maybe 7:20 to 8:00. See, it always varied because